Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sadnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila, Tanyan Wase Yake. The last greeting that I gave you is Lakota and means hello, may everything be well with you. And we will continue on today teaching on the concept of Devakut, which means clinging or pursuing closely after with respect to a relationship, in Kabbalah anyway, it means with respect to a relationship with God. But before I begin, I will do as I do every day at the start of every shiur, and that is I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you were close who has passed away. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskido v'yishkidash me'rabo, bomo divero kirose, v'yamlik melkose v'kayakon, uvyo makon, uv kaye dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uvizman koryev, v'imru omein. Yehe shme'rabo mevorak, le'olam mele ome omayo, yisbarak v'yistabak v'yisparar v'yisraman, Yisnase, Yisadar, Yisale, Yisalal, Shmedukacho, Beraku, Laelo, Minko, Berkaso, Vishoroso, Tushbukoso, Venekamoso, Da Amiron, Beomo, Veimru, Omein. Yehe, Shlomo, Rabo, Min Shamayo, Vekayim, Olenu, Veal, Kol, Yisrael, Veimru, Omein. O say, Shalom, Bimramov, Hu yashe shalom oleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now let me check and apparently turn down our recording inputs just a little bit so we don't max everything out. Okay, this looks a little better. All right. Well, as you know, we've been teaching about Devakut. The Jewish term for mystical union with God or with the one or more of the 10 manifestations of God in the form of the 10 sefirot that are depicted in the Eskayim, the diagram of the 10 holy sefirot, Eskayim meaning tree of life, because God is life. All life comes from God. So the tree of life, which depicts the 10 attributes of God, the 10 manifestations of Ein Sof, the transcendental, unknowable, purely spiritual God, as it descends into from potentiality into actuality in the physical temporal world, those two are manifestations. They are manifestations of this purely transcendental spiritual God known as Ein Sof, meaning the eternal one, or just the eternal, having no end, into the world. In other words, God descends in the supreme act of humility, and in the supreme act of humility, takes on physical, temporal attributes, so that we may exist, so that the universe may be created and everything in it, including us, so that God may have an other, in quote marks, an other with which to share his perfect goodness, his infinite goodness, may have an other which can serve as a mirror to Ein Sof, a mirror to God, so that he may see himself in this mirror and see what he is. Okay, so we've been talking about this Devakut, this union, this cleaving with God, which is the impulse, the motivating kavana, the mystical intention of most Kabbalists to ascend either in mind or soul or both from this world of names and forms, this physical temporal universe consisting of the four dimensions of time, space, and matter. I know I only named three, but matter exists in three dimensions, and then the fourth is time. And so it is God's way, having created all of this, to create a mirror to see himself, that he's made this, but he has separated us from him, and there is the eternal motivation within everything in the universe to return to its source, and in the Jewish mystic, that urge to return to one's origins is played out through devakut, cleaving, the ascent of the soul or of the intellect to the higher spheres out of this physical world into the spiritual world, where the ten manifestations of God reside and can be approached by the soul or the intellect of a human being. And that's what devakut is. The chasing after, the following closely after, the close pursuit, the hot pursuit of God by man. The urge to unify, to reunite with our source. All right. And that's what we've been talking about. Today I'm going to continue on that, and I'm going to start by reading Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 1. I'll just read it. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And in some English translations, it's, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. But that's not at all what it says. What it says in the beginning of that verse is not "and Adam," but rather "and the man." And here's why I say that. In the Hebrew, here's what it is. Veha Adam yada et hava. Veha Adam yada et hava. Literally translated, it is, and the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Okay, here the verb yada, which literally means to know. Yada, to know. It's used in the sense of sexual union. Now, why would it be used in the sense of sexual union? Why would it not just say, and the man had sexual intercourse, or the man had sexual union with his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain? Because the sense of union, whether it's sexual or in any other sense, and I'm referring now to intellectual, is really implied by the verb yada, to know. So, what we can say is this, that one does not truly know an other unless one engages in some sort of union or unification with the other. And this relates to the relationship not just between you and me and others on this planet, but to, and especially, the most important sense is between man and God. To know, you cannot know God, truly know God, unless you engage in a type of union or unification with God. And I'm just using this verb here, yada, to illustrate this important concept about how knowledge of God has to do with the merging of the knowing subject, which is man, and the known object, which is God, in the ego consciousness of the human mind. It's a form of intellectual union. The union, this is the Aristotelian form, okay, a concept of devakut, that the great scholar, Kabbalistic scholar, Moshe Edel, talks about, that one of the three types of of ways of or of categorizing or looking at the concept of devakut, or cleaving to God, in Kabbalah, is the Aristotelian philosophical method, which is where there's an intellectual union between man and God, a uniting of the human intellect with the divine intellect. And I'm just showing here how even in the Bible, that is the, in the written Torah, how that is really illustrated just in the first few times that the word know is used in the Bible. It's used in the context of Adam knowing his wife to produce Cain, Cain knowing his wife to produce a child, and then again, Adam knowing his wife again to produce Seth. In each of these instances, the word, the verb, yada, to know, is used in the sense of sexual union. And the fact that it's a sexual union, not just an intellectual union, is important too. Because so much of Kabbalah is wrapped up in the concept of the sexual union. Because why? Because the division of gender or sex in all of reality, the animal and the plant world and in the human world, is part of the separation of the opposites, the manifestation of God in his oppositeness. It's not just good and evil. It's not just light and dark, day and night. It's also male and female. And so sexual union is a part of the reunification that has to take place here on earth between male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, and also between God and his Shekinah, Zer'anpin, the smaller face, also known as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is represented by the sixth Sephirot, known as Teferet Yisrael, Beauty of Israel, is the sun, is S-O-N. It's also S-U-N, but it's son, S-O-N. Son of what? Of Keter, the first Sephira. And he is the bridegroom. And the four Sephirot surrounding Teferet, which are the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, and the eighth Sephirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Netzach, and Hod, those represent the four corner posts of the wedding canopy. And the tenth Sephirot, Malkut, known as kingdom, which means kingdom, is also known as Shekinah, the divine presence of God on earth. That's the feminine aspect, which is the daughter from Keter. And so she is the fallen bride, fallen and lying languishing in the dust and the ashes of the world of forms and names, this world that we live in. And we think it's pretty darn good, but it's not very good compared to the supernal worlds. And so she has to be reunited in sexual union, marriage, the hieros gamos, with the bridegroom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's all embodied in this one verse, Genesis 4:1. Veha Adam yada et Hava, and the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. All right, so let's look at this word yada, to know, which implies cleaving of the wife to the man, of the children to the parents, and then later of the cleaving of the son to his new wife. Yada, meaning to know, is spelled Yod Dalet Ayin, and the gematrias, that means the numeric values of those letters, because remember, I've taught before that in Hebrew, each of the 22 letters is not only a letter, but it's also a number, This is not mere numerology, which is really an attempt by other religious backgrounds to copy gematria. But those assignments of numerical values to letters in numerology are totally arbitrary, whereas in Kabbalah, the numbers are the letters, and the letters are the numbers. So Aleph is one. It's not just the A sound or the silent sound in a word, but it is the number one. And Beit is not just the B or V sound. It is the number two, okay? So every one of these letters in every word has a numerical value, which is the number, okay? Yod, Dalet, Ayin, which read together is pronounced Yada, meaning to know. The values are 10 for Yod. Yod is the number 10, Dalet is the number 4, and Ayin is the number 70. So if we sum those up, first of all, I'm going to just say the number 10, if we look at them separately, this just occurred to me right now. Actually, I can say that the Holy Spirit sent this to me just now. 10 is the number of the 10 Sefirot, or the 10 manifestations of God in the Etz Chaim. 4 is the perfect number. It's the number of the square. The perfect number of the square, which attempts to be a circle, which is God. And 70 is the number of elders in the Israelites, in the community of the Israelites that were gathered before the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, from which God delivered His great covenant with the Israelite people. So if we just look at the numbers there individually, God, in the form of the Sephirotic tree, the tree of life, 4, the number of perfection, and 70, the number of the elders that God permitted Moshe and his brother Aaron to bring up on the mountain in order to see God in the cloud and in the fire and the lightning that was shooting down in that cloud before Moses was raptured up into it. Now remember, there were 70 elders and they saw this. So in this word, Yada, to know, we have God on one side in the beginning, Yod. We have the elders in the letter Ayin on the mountain, and we have 4, the symbol of perfection, which is Moshe in the middle of them as the intermediator that links together and binds God and Israel, God and his priestly nation. Praise be to God for that insight. You see, I have some notes that I've made, but things come to me, and these come directly as a result of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now then, we'll go on with this. Those numbers added together, 10, 4, and 70 equal 84. You reduce that down by summing those two digits. The sum of the two digits, 8 and 4, is 12. Okay, that's the number of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you sum down the two digits of 1 and 2 that are in 12, and you get 3. And that's the number of the first 3 of the 10 Sefirot, Keter, Chokmah, Binah, which taken together are the world of Atzilut. This is the highest of the 4 worlds. This is the nearest to Ein Sof. It means the world of nearness. Atzilut means nearness. The world of nearness. It's the world of emanation from which all the rest of the world of the worlds came forth. It's King, Keter, or crown, Chokmah, Abba, father, or wisdom, and Ima, or Binah, mother, and understanding. Altogether, they are Atika Kadisha, the Ancient One of Days, the Holy Ancient One. Okay, All of this in the word yada. Vehadam yada et hava. And the man knew or united with Eve, his wife. And it's true. From the union of Adam and Hadah and Hava came forth the 12 tribes of Israel, the priestly nation. Okay, what else does 84, what else is 80, there are more words and phrases in written Torah that have the gematria of 84 than just Yadah. What are they? Well, I'll just, the ones that apply to this are, that I have found are these. Hanak, or pronounced Hanak. And who is that? That's the name of in English, Enoch, who we've been teaching on all this time, the patriarch of the seventh generation of the righteous on earth. The man who, like his great-grandson Noach, walked with God. We're told that, remember? That Enoch walked with God. And just to prevent any misunderstanding of what it means to walk with God, because I'm maintaining that walking with God means to hear his voice, because there's a reference here in walking with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the afternoon when God first discovered that Adam and Hava had become as God, had eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so here's this link, this circular link, all tied up in the gematria of 84. Enoch walked with God just as God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden toward the cool of evening. And cool, by the way, is not a very good translation. The word in the Bible is ruach, which means wind or spirit. Okay, but moving on, I'll leave that for now. So anyway, to walk with God means to commune with, to speak with, to cling to pursue closely. Enoch was raised up from the earth and literally united. He did not undergo death. He did not face death. He was united with the first angel, Yahuel. He was merged with Yahuel, the most important angel, and both of their former selves were annihilated, okay? Yahuel was annihilated, and the man, Enoch, or Hanak, gematria value 84, was annihilated. They ceased to exist because they were merged, and when they were united, okay, or knew each other, remember, yada, to know, it means to unite, they were merged together and became a third new entity, the angel Metatron, okay? And here is that link in the word Yadah, which the gematria is 84. We look and we find that Hanak also has a gematria of 84. So there's a link, a mystical link there, a mystical proof of what we're saying, that it's truth. What else does 84, is 84 the gematria of? In the thicket. In the thicket. Well, remember I was talking in our last meeting about God calling forth from the midst of the burning bush to Moshe? From the midst of the burning bush. Well, that means from the midst of the thicket. God's voice was in the thicket. And here's a circular reference again. Once to the walking in the cool of the afternoon that God does in the Garden of Eden, in which he calls out to Adam and Eve. He calls out from the midst of the thicket of the garden. From the jungle-like, in my mind, midst of all of these wonderful plants and beautiful animals in a spiritual sense. Do not take these things literally. These are all metaphors to help us understand this teaching that God has given us in the written Torah and explained to us further in the oral Torah and is explaining to us even further in these interpretations that Kabbalists such as myself bring down through themselves as an instrument of God's Ruach HaKodesh or divine inspiration, Holy Spirit. Okay, so in the thicket here means both in the Garden of Eden in which God walks in the cool of the afternoon and calls out, Adam, Adam. And the burning bush later, and later, I say, is really tongue-in-cheek because there is no actual thing as time. That's a that exists only in this world, which exists only in the mind of God, which is eternal. But later, from our perspective, from the midst of the burning bush in the thicket, God's voice calls out to Moshe. He says, Moshe, Moshe. This is the event, that the seminal event that leads to God's realization of its own, of the validity of its own existence, which causes God to exclaim in response to Moshe's question later, well, what name am I going to tell the elders of the Israelites, of your people, the Jews, that you're sending me to rescue? What name shall I tell them is your name? Because I'm going to tell them that God sent me, and they're going to say, what God sent you? And God is so excited that he says, Ahaya, Asher Ahaya, I am happy that I am. So it's from the midst of the thicket, who, and the phrase in the thicket has a gematria of 84, which is the same as the gematria of Hanak, which is the same as the gematria of Yada, to know, that God comes to know that he really exists, that he's not the delusion of some lunatic, that he's not the dream of some sleeping child, that he does, in fact, objectively, he has just received from Moshe objective confirmation of his own existence. Why? Because Moshe brought, as the knowing subject, brought God as the perceived object into the consciousness of Moshe's ego consciousness, his own mind. And when that merger took place, God had feedback from Moshe and brought Moshe into his mind, and Moshe responded and talked to him, and that confirmed, I must be real, or he wouldn't be here talking to me. There's this unification, this merger of the two minds. This is Aristotelian devakut, okay? Aristotelian devakut. But I'm just using Aristotelian as a descriptor of a type of union. That's, and it's the intellectual, divine mind to human mind. But it's distinctly, devakut is distinctly Jewish. It's Jewish mysticism, it's Jewish mystical union, unio mystica, mystical union. Okay, one more example, one more thing here. What other word has a gematria of 84, the same as the word yada, meaning to know? Chalom, chalom, C-H-O-L-O-M, and that means dream. And I'm just tickled to death over this. What does dream have to do with knowing and joining to God? Well, in the first place, where do we get to see God more than any other? What is the most frequent means by which we get to commune with God? It's in our sleep. It's in our sleep. In our dreamless sleep, our souls rise up and traverse the supernal worlds, and we speak to the archetypes, the ministering angels that God has put in those worlds, all doing their duties. These are all manifestations of God, and they tell us things. Some of the things they tell us are correct and true, some are false. And if we're really lucky, God allows us to come and sit before HaKadosh, his manifestation as the beauty of Israel, the God of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. And He teaches us as we sit with bended knee and bowed heads before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sits with His legs folded up beneath Him. And then when we come back, the master of the dream, this is another angel, the Baal HaKalom, Baal, B-A, apostrophe A-L, meaning master, Ha, of the, Kalom, dream, is who translates the knowledge that we have gained in our communion, unification, okay, communion, unification, these are all stages of Devakut, with God, which cannot be reduced to human words. They can only be reduced to the language that are given to us in symbols, and they're put into our dreams. And so it's the master of the dream that puts them into our dreams. So Kalam means dream. It's the place we go to experience the archetypes of the collective unconscious, if you're a Jungian, which I am. And if you're a Jungian, you also believe that it's not strictly psychological. It's psycho-spiritual. It is the collective unconscious is the upper worlds. It's the realm, it's the ocean that is the mind of God. The ocean into which we descend each night and ascend each night. So Kalam means dream. It's the place where we're unified, meet with and are unified with God. It's the equivalent of the burning bush of Moses. It's the equivalent of Gan Eden, in which God walked in the cool of the afternoon and called out, Adam, Adam, wherefore art thou? Okay. Let me check our time here. I have developed a little bit more here than I have anticipated. You know what? We're going to stop right here. And then we're going to, on Monday, we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about this coming to know God, which comes from, which means divine unification with God, Devakut. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to know God? What does that mean? And we're going to talk about it, start that off, just to give you a little teaser here. I'll read you what Jung says. When we bring God into the container that is our ego consciousness, what happens? Jung says in his answer to Job, all opposites are of God. Therefore, man must bend to this burden. And in so doing, he finds that God in his oppositeness has taken possession of him, incarnated himself in him, he, meaning man, becomes a vessel filled with divine conflict. That's Jung speaking in answer to Job. Something to for you to, a little teaser there for you to think about between now and Monday. Okay, that's all that we're going to talk about today. As I said, I'm trying to get these teachings down closer into the 30 to 35 minute range instead of the 45 to 50 minute range. And so I have to be more conscious, more aware of how quickly time goes by. It always seems to me like we are just getting started and then it's over. In any event, that's all we'll do today. This teaching is I just gave live, but it's been recorded, and it's going to be saved as an MP3 file, which will be rebroadcast tonight in the same location, same room, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. So you're perfectly welcome to come back and listen again if you like, or tell others about it, and they can come and listen. Or if you want, go to our website at www.beitshemtov.org. Not, as I said erroneously yesterday, Temple Beit Shem Tov. It's just plain Beit Shem, www.beitshemtov.org. It's spelled BEITSHEMTOV.org. And you'll be able to download it from our audio archives there and listen to it as many times or however you want to. In the meantime, our next live teaching will be on Monday. Hope you're there. In the meantime, I have an announcement here, and that is that this Friday, Erev Shabbat, will not be a normal Shabbat service. We'll be celebrating Purim, which literally means lotteries. But what it is it's the great festive holiday that celebrates the great miracle of God in rescuing the Jews from certain doom and destruction in Babylon, and represents the turn, the teshuva, the turning of the Jews back toward God and the righteous ways, the righteous path. that merits his miracle, which completely turns their fate around from one of destruction to one of victory over the Babylonians, precedes then King Cyrus's proclamation that they can return to their homelands in Judah and Israel. All right, we will be celebrating that at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Western, in our room for worship services here on Pal Talk. Hope you come. Bring as many as you like with you. It's going to be a festive teaching, and there will be songs as well. So hope to see you there. All right, next time I'll see you will either be this upcoming Friday or next Monday. In the meantime, I ask that God's blessing be upon your head and being, and that you go from strength to strength. Be well. Zeigesund.